Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor and ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. This is Document Management for Accountants to Go, a monthly podcast program with executive editor Darren Root and the country's foremost document management consultant, John Higgins. These thought leaders discuss all aspects of document management with a laser focus on the special needs of the practicing accountant.
This is Darren Root, executive editor of the CPA Technology Advisor, and you are listening to episode 26 of Document Management for Accountants to Go. I'd first like to thank our corporate sponsor today, ADP, for sponsoring our podcast. I'm here with my regular co-host, John Higgins, and John is a document management expert, and he's also a partner with CPA Crossings out in Metro Detroit. So, John, welcome today.
How you doing today, Darren? Good afternoon.
I am great. Hopefully the weather continues to get better. It's kind of cold down in southern Indiana still. I bet Michigan's the same way, huh?
Yeah, it's cool, but it's we got a bright sunny day, so it's actually perfect weather from my perspective.
Yep, can't beat that. So, John, you and I were just talking. I think what we want to talk about today is a little bit off our beaten path. I mean, typically we're talking about just about document management, but really we really want to talk today about this concept of web conferencing. You know, I think, John, as you mentioned, too many accounting firms today don't quite understand and utilize this tool as valuable as it is. You know, you and I use it on a regular basis because of the nature of our consulting practices, but I think it's a perfect fit for accounting firms. So why don't you kind of start out today just kind of talking in general about this whole idea of web conferencing and how it can be used.
Okay. Yeah, I think a place to start is because, as you know, these podcasts are focused around document management, and which really implies a paperless practice model. And so where web conferencing fits in there is it's just another way to keep everything paperless in the whole communication process, the whole engagement life cycle. And we've talked many times about portals as a way to distribute documents to clients electronically. Well, this is just another form of kind of electronic distribution of that information. And so let's start, I guess, by defining what do we mean by web conferencing. And, you know, one of the things that I like to do when we actually have a PowerPoint to supplement this kind of discussion is to show where web conferencing fits in the communication hierarchy. And if you think about all the different ways that we communicate, we have, of course, the traditional snail mail through the postal system. We have fax machines, which have dominated or had in the past dominated the means of communicating and exchanging documents with clients, but those are kind of going by the wayside. Of course, today we have email, which is the most prolific way in which we communicate and exchange documents with clients. And then we have things like voicemail, of course, for leaving voice messages. We have instant messaging for just typing in, you know, short chats. And then we have the good old-fashioned telephone conversation. And kind of as I go through that list, you know, really trying to point out that each step down that list, it gets to be a more personal level of communication. And so certainly when we talk about a telephone conversation, that's a lot more personal than sending a fax. It's a lot more personal than sending an email or an instant message and a voicemail, because you have the two-way communication. You can't see the body language, but you can hear the body language through voice inflection and things like that. And then the best level of communication, of course, is the personal meeting, where we go out and meet with the clients, or the clients come to our office. Then we do have the body language. We develop more camaraderie, and we can really, you know, together look at that document, that tax return or that financial statement, and make comments and provide feedback instantly. So all that is to say that where web conferencing, in my opinion, fits in that whole hierarchy of communication is it fits between the personal phone call and the personal meeting. And so you get the best of both worlds. You get a good personal level of communication, but you get the benefits of not having to get in your car and drive across town. You certainly have a much better benefit than sending out a fax of a document and then calling on the phone and reviewing it with the client. Here you have, with web conferencing, the ability to share that information real time with one or more other constituents. That's the other benefit of it. So let's step back. I don't hope I'm not rambling too much here, but let's just step back and define what we mean by web conferencing. And really all we're talking about is through an internet connection, allowing someone else outside of your office to be able to view whatever you bring up on your computer screen. And so the classic application to me for a tax practitioner, as an example, would be you've developed a draft copy of the tax return. You've kept it all paperless. You printed it to a PDF format, and you've published it to your document management system. And at some point, when it's a final document, you're going to send it out to the portal for the client to access remotely through a self-service login to your portal. But maybe as an interim step, you want to just kind of review the tax return with the client before you finalize it, make sure they're comfortable with where the numbers are, and explain to them so there's no surprises. So traditionally, when that's done, you would again, fax the document over or maybe email the document and then get on the phone and make a phone call to review it. The problem when you do that is that you lose the ability to control that conversation. If I send a client a tax return and I want to walk them through page by page of that tax return, then when I send them the document, they're going to be off somewhere else. They're going to jump right to the last page and look to see what the tax bill due, the tax amount due is. But in a web conference model, I'm controlling it because the document is on my computer, and when I have that in the PDF format, for example, I hit the page down key when I'm ready to go and show the next page, and the client is sitting there and watching as I go through the document. And it may not just be one client. It may be a partnership where I have 10 partners spread out across the country, and so we get them all on the phone in the web conference simultaneously, and what an efficient way to communicate and review that tax return without anybody having to leave their office.
Yeah, no doubt, John. I think it's you're making a great point there about that being, between a personal meeting and a phone call and being able to control, sort of how the meeting goes and yet be more personal. Because, just so our listeners get a better take on what this is like, I mean, a lot of them have probably attended, whether it's a CPA technology advisor, one of our webinars. It's sort of that in general. Or they've attended another webinar somewhere else. But, it's a really inexpensive solution and a really easy thing to do. I got a feeling that a lot of our listeners would think that this is kind of a complicated process to make this happen. But, I remember before I started doing a lot of them, John, I remember I used to log into some of CCH and Thompson's and thinking, gosh, I wonder if I could ever figure out how to do that. But, boy, is it easy.
Yeah, that's a great point, Darren. I would say that's probably the biggest eye-opener for practitioners once they really learn what's all involved is that, as you say, most of them think it's a lot more expensive and a lot more complicated than it truly is. And that's why we, as part of this podcast, want to encourage our practitioners who are listening to try it. I mean, to me, I would put it on the same level as dual monitors.
I would agree with you.
It's that simple. A little bit more steps involved, but it's really that simple overall, and it's the return on investment is going to be as high or higher. You're going to immediately notice the benefits of it, and so you'll become a big believer after you've done, maybe your first web conference or two. So that would be the takeaway. I'm sorry.
The ones that I've used, they really, once you just sort of do a quick download of the program, and which is, it's such a small program, it's really a quick download, kind of sits down in your system tray, which is that tray in the bottom right-hand corner oftentimes. And if you're ready to have a meeting, you essentially just click on it, say start a meeting, and it sends an email to somebody, and you click on show my screen. It's really that simple.
Yeah.
And you're off and running. And whether, both people call into the number that's there, or you just call like you and I, are calling on the phone now, just because you and I are talking on the phone on our personal lines doesn't mean we can't be showing our screen separately.
Exactly. And I think what we can expect down the road, Darren, is that the technology, like all technologies, will continue to evolve. And I believe we're not too far away from where you can pick up the phone and dial it and it'll just be another option. Do you want this to be converted to a web conference, and it would initiate the meeting with whomever you're calling? You know, today is a little more involved, but not much, frankly.
Right. You know, the other thing, John, that I would throw in there is, you know, I use, because I'm kind of a Mac guy in my personal life, or an Apple guy, I guess. You know, I use a lot of video conferencing. You know, I want to talk to my kids. You know, it's pretty doggone easy to use Skype or some sort of video conferencing software. And so what I find when I'm having a team meeting, let's say with the CPATA, you know, we have some employees in Wisconsin and in Oklahoma. I find my meetings to be more effective when I'm actually looking at somebody and talking. Because oftentimes, if I have a half-hour meeting and everybody's just a voice, I have a tendency to zone out. But if, you know, if we're looking at each other through video conference, I find that to be very beneficial as well, and another inexpensive solution for the same thing.
Absolutely. You know, it just adds another dimension to the conversation when you can show the video. It's important to point out for our audience, though, it's the video is not required, because that's, I think, sometimes what is a little bit intimidating for those who haven't been involved with a web conference. They're thinking, oh, gosh, I've got to have a you know, a production facility with a camera. I've got to make sure I'm looking proper. And how do I look on a camera? So you don't need to use the camera. When you get to that point, and it's just going to evolve, that's going to become the standard way of communicating. But I would say today there's probably, some are probably 50-50 in terms of percentage of how many web conference meetings go without any video. So you don't have to have it. And so it's one of those things where as you get more comfortable with the technology overall, you'll decide when it's the right time for you to incorporate the video portion of it.
Yeah, very, very good point. So, John, if we've convinced our listeners at this point, hey, I'd at least be taking a look at this because it may make some sense. And an example of the way I use it, John, is let's say I want to show a new client how to use my portal, how to go to my website, log into the portal for the first time, and just how to use it. You know, instead of me calling them into my conference room, which sounds like a good idea, except it takes everybody's time, you know, I can just call them and start a quick meeting, an online meeting, and show them how to use the portal the first time or to how to solve a problem, whether it's in, you know, Peachtree or QuickBooks or something else. So there's lots of uses, you know, or to review a tax return for this very solution. So if we convinced our practitioners that they ought to be taking a look at this, kind of tell us what our options are in this space.
Okay. You know, there's a number of web conferencing tools out there, but let's just whittle it down initially at least to the top three, the big three that really dominate the market. You have WebEx, which is owned by WebEx is owned by Cisco. And then you have GoToMeeting, which is now owned by Citrix. I think I have those proper. And then you have LiveMeeting, which is a Microsoft solution. So if you looked at the landscape of web conferencing that's going on across the country, I got to believe that those three products probably have 98% of the market share. What you will find out there, if you did like a Google search of web conferencing tools, you'd see hundreds. And a lot of those are really companies that are kind of like brokers. They've taken one of these platforms and they're just kind of adding some value-added services and providing a more of a package, more of a customized solution. But if you stay with those big three, WebEx, GoToMeeting, and LiveMeeting, you know, those are all solid solutions. They're each different. In our business at CPA Crossings, we use both WebEx and we use GoToMeeting. And WebEx, we do a lot of webinars where we're, you know, providing training courses and we have people register. So WebEx gives us a lot more functionality to really facilitate the whole registration process. That's very important to us, and it allows us to, you know, track polling responses so that we can make sure people are participating to get CPE credit, and it has really strong attendance reports and, you know, the ability to record all the meetings. So that's a pretty strong solution that may be more than what a lot of you need. We use GoToMeeting for our informal meetings. So if Darren and I were going to go over a document, go over a slide presentation, I would likely suggest we use GoToMeeting for that, because that I find is easier just to initiate the meeting. It's just a little bit simpler on the interface and, you know, works just as well as far as what you actually can get accomplished with sharing the information. And then live meeting, what you'll find is that companies that are really strong, Microsoft organizations or shops where their IT staff is really supportive of the Microsoft solution, those tend to be the ones that like to use live meeting. And, you know, that's not as easy. It's not as easy as GoToMeeting to initiate a session. It's probably more along the lines of WebEx. But, again, all three of them are, you know, good, reliable solutions. And I would suggest that you try each of them out, and you'll develop your own reaction to each of them. And they all the vendors offer free trials. You can go to their website. They have, you know, live webinars of their product that you can, you know, participate in to learn about the features and functions they have. And, you know, that will also just help you become more educated about the whole process and how it's being used by other types of businesses.
Yeah, I think it's a good point, John. I think trying them out is a good way to figure out what you like. Again, I use GoToMeeting largely with, you know, my clients, those real quick meetings, and been pretty happy with that. But I've used all the solutions as well. You know, from a price perspective, you know, I can't be specific, but they can find those the prices on the vendors' websites. But, you know, just in a as a general nature, I mean, we're talking $50 to $75 a month for an account that's pretty much unlimited, don't you think?
Yeah, there are a couple caveats, but let me kind of give just a fairly broad perspective on pricing. You're exactly right, Darren. It's generally you're going to be in like the $50 to $75 a month for a what we call a host account. And so, if you want to have two people in your office running the meeting at the same time with two different people, or, you know, two separate meetings, then you're going to need two separate host accounts. So I wouldn't suggest you go out and buy more than one host account as an initial investment. And then as you start to see the, you know, people, you know, waiting in line to pull a meeting up, then you just go out and buy another host. But, you know, so like without getting on a specific product, if you pay $50 a month, you'll get one host account, and that will allow you to have typically anywhere from 20 to 50 people join in a meeting. And so one of the important misconceptions to point out right now is that only you as the accounting firm hosting the meeting pays that fee. I've had a number of people say, you mean everybody that's on the meeting has to pay $50 a month? And the answer is no. It's just the host pays the $50 a month, and anybody who's invited to join the meeting joins at no charge. And you know, there's other options in the pricing model, but that's pretty much what you can count on. And that means you can have as many meetings throughout the month as you want for that one $50 investment, but you can only have one at a time. And
yeah.
So that's all you just kind of, as you, like I say, as it grows in usage more in your firm, then you just go out and buy a second account.
So, John, what else should our listeners be thinking about as they, you know, as they try to make a decision here or to sort of move themselves forward? Any other thoughts? Oh, I knew what I was going to bring up. Have you looked at Office Communicator at all yet?
No, I haven't, Darren.
It's kind of an interesting thing. You know, it's a whole nother, you know, this is getting way beyond the simple solutions that we just talked about. So this is a, you know, a more complex solution. But if you're a firm that, you know, has some IT expertise, Office Communicator is a Microsoft product. You know, it's, and you can put a communicator server in so that, you know, when you have the, you know, you and I are used to using Instant Messenger, John, through Windows Live. You know, if you and I were, you know, hooked up as friends on Instant Messenger, I could instantly start a live meeting, you know, drag and drop things on that and show my screen immediately, you know, call you immediately. So there's all these capabilities that I see whether, you know, your presence is available, John, by, you know, how in the Outlook we see whether somebody, we have those presence indicators, you know, that started out in 2007.
Yeah.
So I could see whether you're online, John, and if you are, I mean, I could instantly start a live meeting and show my screen with the click of a button. So some things that are really moving down this path. I know it here. I have Indiana University across the street, and they use Communicator throughout all of their campuses in the state. It's really a phenomenal package. But again, it's significantly more complicated than what you and I are talking about, John.
Yeah, I think a point there, as you talked about Office Communicator, you mentioned implemented as a server solution. I think an important point for our audience to note is that with the three that we mentioned, they're all available as web hosted solutions, as a SaaS or software as a service solution. So when I use GoToMeeting, I don't have to really install anything but a small piece of software on my local computer. The whole meeting communication process is managed by the GoToMeeting servers and by their network administrators. So the technology is quite simple from that perspective.
I think that's a very important point. Well, John, we're about out of time today. Anything else we're missing on this topic?
Just one additional point to make as far as functionality. All of the programs we mentioned allow you to record the session with integrated audio or conference calling services. And so that's a nice feature, because then you can automatically have an archive of a meeting. So you don't have to have you don't have to take a bunch of notes. You can let your participants know. They can take notes if they want, because some people just like to do that out of habit. But for those who don't want to be bothered with taking notes, that they could be given access, if you choose to, given access to go back and review a recording of the meeting. So it's just another important dimension in that whole initiative to take your practice paperless. And this is, keeping the whole communications process paperless with this tool.
I think that's a great point. And, it's like with anything, a lot of us just kind of, hey, I'll get an account and I'll start up and I'm off and running. But again, like you always talk about, John, the first thing that a firm should do is maybe just step back for a moment and think about what their strategy might be as it relates to this, and develop a firm strategy as to how you're going to use it and, things you might want to archive and so on and so forth.
Absolutely. And just, maybe start by doing a couple of mock web conferences just within your own office with people in your own office, and get, that way you don't have to be concerned about the ramifications of anything going wrong. Just in-house communication, you can make all the mistakes you want.
Yeah. Well, John, thanks so much for your time today, and look forward. I'm sure I'll see you at some conferences soon. And I also want to thank one more time our corporate sponsor, ADP, for today's podcast. And until next month, John, I'll talk to you then.
Thanks, Darren. Have a great day.
You too.
The CPA Technology Advisors Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. For more information about the CPA Technology Advisors' other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit cpatechnologyadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106. Or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via talkshoe.com.